The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parshas Yisro. In Yisro we have the Matan Torah, the giving of the Torah. In some of the psukim, in some of the verses prior to the giving of the Torah, there are many things that we can learn about the Torah and about preparation when one comes to study Torah or to acquire Torah. So I'd like to dwell on this evening. Actually, 10 points if we have time for all of them. Some of these we've mentioned in the past, but they're worth reviewing. Others we haven't mentioned. We start on Posuk Aleph of Perek Yutes. V'chedesh ha-shlishi, letzeis b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim, v'yem hazeh bo midbar Sinai. It was in the third month after the children of Israel went out of Egypt. On this day, they came to the desert of Sinai. The Gemara tells us in Masechet Shabbos, and of Peches, the Torah that was given in the third month, they went out in Nisan, the 15th of Nisan, so there was 2 weeks of Nisan, and then there was the month of Iyar, and then Rosh Chodesh, in the beginning of Sivan, they came to the desert of Sinai, and 6 days later Torah was given. So it was given in the third month of the Exodus. Why? So the Gemara tells us in Masechet Shabbos Daf Peches, Torah shahu glilo, oleo de refchizda, brich rachmona, dioi vurayin tilsoi. Blessed is the Almighty, who gave a Torah, which is divided into thirds, l'am tilsoi, to a nation which is made up of three parts, al yedei tilsoi, through an individual who was a third, b'yein tilsoi, on the third day, b'yachet tilsoi, on the third month. What does this mean? Blessed is the Almighty who gave a Torah which is made up of three parts. Rashi tells us, this is Torah Nevi'im Uksuvim. Torah is made up of Torah, Nevi'im, the prophets, Ksuvim, and the writings. L'am Tulsoi, it was given to a nation of three, Kahanim, Levim, and Yisraelim. Al Yedei Tilsoi, through an individual who was a third one, that's Mesha. Mesha was Tilsoi Lebetan. Mesha was the third born of his family. First was Miriam, then was Aaron, and then was Mesha. B'yem Tilsoi, on the third day, as it states, that they were commanded to sanctify themselves for 3 days before the giving of the Torah. B'yarcho Tilsoi, and in the third month. Third month is, as we mentioned, the month of Iyar. Excuse me, yeah, the month of Sivan, the third month of the going out of Egypt. So we see that the third month has a significance because for some reason we see that three is linked with Torah. Now, what is the link of three with Torah? So the Maral explains. Torah is neither to the right or to the left, but its center. As it states, Torah Hashem Tamima, the Torah of Hashem is perfect. Something which is perfect cannot be an extremity. Anything that's an extreme is imperfect. And it states, Pekudi Hashem Yishorim, the mitzvahs of Hashem are Yoshor. Yoshor means perfectly straight. Something which is straight cannot have a leaning towards the right, and because that's not straight, that's crooked. Nor it can have a leaning towards the left, because that's crooked. So, Torah Hashem Tamima, the Torah is perfect. Mitzvahs Hashem Pekudi Hashem Yishorim, the mitzvahs are perfectly straight. And Torah has to be that way, because it came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it comes from the Almighty who's perfect. And three always represents the center. Because the first could be to the right, the second to the left, and the third is what brings them to center. Like we also find by Abraham, Yitzchok, and Yaakov. Abraham, that was Abraham, He was the first of the forefathers. Next was Yitzchok, and then was Yaakov. And Yaakov was known as the Ishtam, perfectly straight. Or like it states, Achuta Meshulash Leibim Heira Yinotek. That it's the third, if you take something and twine it twice, it'll come apart. But three twines, the third one will hold the first two together. It pulls them to center and holds them together. So the essence of Torah must be in the middle. If something is to an extreme, be it to the right or to the left, that's the greatest indication that it's not Torah. See, it's a falsification of Torah. That's why we always find that movements throughout the history, there are always all kinds of movements. History is made up of them. Eventually they disappear and Torah remains. Actually, the Maral writes that if you take a line and you draw it straight, it'll continue endlessly. But if you draw it to the right or to the left, just a little off center, eventually it's going to go off the table or the map or wherever you're drawing it, and it'll disappear. So therefore, Torah identifies and relates to three. Moshe identified with three. And the time also had to be, Mesugal had to be the time, the proper time for Torah. So therefore the third month was chosen. So that's what is meant when it states, B'chedesh HaShlishi, in the third month. Second point. B'yem HaZeh, on this day. Rashi says, L'hoye Tzorech Lichtev Ela B'yem Ahu. It should have said on that day. We're referring to the past. That day they came to the desert of Sinai. What does it mean on this day? This day? Mahu B'yem HaZeh She'divrei Terech Hadoshim Alecho Ki'ilu Hayem Nitnu. This is to teach us that Torah should be just like Torah was given on this day. That's how Torah always must be. Like it was given on this day. Not it was given on that day. It's not history, but it was given on this day. She'echadoshim beinecho. It should always be new to you as if it was given on this day. Now, what is meant by this? I mean, this is very, these are very nice words, but in reality, Torah is something that's old. It was given a long time ago. We also have another source. One of the parshas of Krishna, where there also it states that the Torah used a special word there to teach us that Torah has to constantly be new to us. But how can something old be new to us? If it's old, it's old. So again, the Maral explains here. The Torah, if it's learned properly, is new to us. We're not speaking here of some type of self-deceivement. It is new. Why? Because the Gemara tells us that it's as difficult to acquire as silver and gold, and it's as easy to break as glass. This is to tell us that it's very, very difficult to acquire because it's coming from another world, and even once you acquire it, you never have it. At least by gold or silver, once you have it, you have it. It's like glass that in a flash it can disappear, it can be broken. And why is this? Because it is not something that's coming from this world. Something in this world we can acquire. We can acquire quite easily, and even if it's difficult to acquire, but once you have it, it's yours. But Torah is something that's coming from an upper world. It's coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's impossible for the human being to make a total acquisition on it. So therefore, even when he learns Torah, it's quite never his. And therefore, when he learns it over again, it's a new acquisition. If he learns it over 100 times, it's constantly a new acquisition. And it's endless. That's why we say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should teach us Torah from his mouth. When we learn Torah, we're learning from him. It's not something that we have acquired and it becomes detached and now it's ours. And if we review it, we are reviewing something that's old, but it's never detached from him. It's never totally ours. And therefore, every time we study it again, we're making new kinyonim, new acquisitions in it. There will be new understandings in it, and it'll be new. Realistically, it will be new. So therefore, it tells us that Bayim Hazeh, all the time when one studies Torah properly, when he tries to find the truth in Torah, it will be Bayim Hazeh, it will be something new. Even though he might have learned it many, many times. That's what the Gemara says, in the Deme Lemi Shashena Meya Pomim, the Kemi Shashena Meya Ve'echot. That you cannot compare two people, two students, one reviewed the Gemara 100 times and the other 101 times, you cannot compare the two. Because it is endless, its source is way above us, and therefore every time we learn it, we find new things in it, and we add. Therefore, this is the approach when we come, if we approach Torah like we're learning some type of archive that belongs in a museum, all right, then we won't find anything new in it. But if we approach Torah that we are learning each time, right, Torah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from the Almighty, then it'll be B'yem Hahu this day. That's the second point. B'yem Hazeh. A third point, in the following pasuk, it states, Vayisu Refidim, Vayavohu Mibar Sinai. They traveled from Refidim. They came to the desert of Sinai, Vayachnu Bamidbor, and they camped in the desert, Vayichan Shom Yisrael Neger Ohor, and Yisrael camped opposite the mountain. Rashi brings that it states Vayichan. It should say Vayachnu. Vayachnu means they camped. Instead it says, he camped in the singular, Yisrael. Yisrael camped in the singular. It should use a Loshen Rabim, a plural. Why? Ki ish echod b'lev echod. To tell us, aboshar kol chan yesh b'tarumus b'machlekes. Even though wherever Yisrael went many times, unfortunately or tragically, there were complaints, there was dissension, there was disagreement, there was strife, but here by Har-Sinai, by Yichan ki ish echod, it was singular. They camped as one person. Belev echod, with one heart, as one person, total unity. Now the question is asked, why? Why here was there total unity? The answer is, because there had to be at this point total unity. Otherwise they would not have been able to receive the Torah. Sages tell us that Kuchibrichu, Yoraiso, Yisrael Chatu, Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Torah, and Yisrael, all are bound together. They are all from one origin. Therefore, any division that will be found in Yisrael will cause a division in Torah. This is something that we are not cognizant of, and it's something that we should be very cognizant of. When there's strife in Israel, this doesn't only split Israel, but it splits the Torah. Here, when they were receiving the Torah, Torah had to be at its perfection. This was the moment when the entire Torah was being given to the world. This was the moment when all of the Torah was coming down to Israel. In order for Torah to be at its perfection, Israel had to be one. If there was any division in Israel, that would have affected the perfection of the Torah. So even though in many other places they had machlekes, but here they had to be one, b'lev echad. They had to camp vayichad as a singular. B'lev echad as one. From here we learn that when there is strife in Israel, then there will also be division in Torah. And this is brought in the Chazal. It states that when Klal Yisrael goes into Golus, so just like Yisrael itself is scattered, Torah also will be scattered. And that's why there's a prophecy that in our day it will be so difficult to find a Mishnah Brura or a Halacha Brura b'mokom echad. That will be difficult to find one Mishnah, one Halacha in one place with a clarity. That comes from us, because Yisrael is not together. And from here we learn a very great principle, that machlekes, strife, dissension in Yisrael, is the antithesis to Torah. If we want Torah, then there's going to have to be peace in Yisrael. If there's strife in Yisrael, this breaks the Torah. If you find places where there's great strife, you will not find great Torah. You cannot. Because one works diametrically against the other. In the next Pasuk, it states in Pasuk Gimel, Umeisha ole Elokim. Umeisha went up to Hashem, Vayikre Elov Hashem Minoho Lemor. And Hashem called to him from the mountain, saying, Ko Soma Levesh Yaakov, V'sageid Livnei Yisrael. This is what you should say to the house of Yaakov, and this is what you shall tell the Bnei Yisrael, the children of Israel. The question is asked is, why is it divided into two portions here? This is what you should say to the house of Yaakov, and this is what you should say to the children of Israel. It would seem to be that they're one. So in this the Chazal answer, that Beis Yaakov haynu anoshim, the house of Jacob, that's referring to the women. Bnei Yisrael, that's referring to the men. Had it only said Bnei Yisrael, then we say it refers to everyone. But since it divides it into two, so we say one refers to the women and one refers to the men. How do we know that Beis Yaakov refers to the men? Maybe it's just the opposite. So that the Moral says, because women are referred to as a bais, as a home. Because the women is the akeres habayis, she is the foundation of the home. So therefore, Beis Yaakov elu hanoshim, and Bnei Yisrael elu anoshim. Now a further question is asked. It doesn't say that you shall teach or instruct each one the same way. Now actually, what are we speaking about here? Here we're speaking where Moshe went up to the mountain prior to the giving of the Torah. This is all speaking within the 3 days before the giving of the Torah, or within the 6 days from Rosh Chodesh until the 6th of Sivan. He went up prior to the giving of the Torah, and he's going back and forth, acting as a courier, bringing messages from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Yisrael and from Yisrael to Hashem. Then are they prepared to accept this Torah, and what are the preconditions for accepting the Torah, and so forth and so on. So we're speaking of the conditions that will be instructed to Yisrael. So Hashem said, Kosoma leveis Yaakov v'sage livnei Yisrael, this is what you shall tell them. But what is mentioned here is that the way of telling the Beis Yaakov, the women, is described differently than the way of telling the Bnei Yisrael, the men. By the women it states Somar, and by the men it states Sagid. So what is the difference? So Rashi tells us Somar, that's Loshin Rako. That's a soft language. When you speak to the women, when you instruct them, when you to tell them my conditions for receiving the Torah and so forth, speak softly to them. Sageid livnei Yisrael, when you speak to the men, then you shall be sageid, which is a strong type of language. Onshin v'dikdukin peirash l'zuchorim dvorim akoshim kigidim. To the men you must speak strongly. You must tell them, if you accept, then this is what you'll get. If you don't accept, then this is what you'll get. If you'll do it, this is the reward. If you don't do it, this is the punishment. And spell out the entire punishment. In other words, you shall speak to them in a manner of what is called gazem, threats. If you do it, then this will be your reward. If you don't do it, this will be your punishment. But when you speak to the woman, you must speak Loshon Rako. You can't use the threats. You can't go into all of the dikdukim, all of the difficulties, but you must speak a soft language. The Maral in the Gurai says as follows. He says, Hanoshim yese mekablim divrei ritzoi hupitoi. Mimashim mekablim mikeah gizom. He says, women, they accept better when they're spoken to in a soft language, when they're coaxed into doing something, or enticed into doing something, or when something is made to be appealing to them. They accept much better than if they're spoken to in a hard language with threats. Lefisha heim niv olim mikeh akizum. Because when they're spoken to in a hard language, they become very unsettled, very upset. Aval anoshim, but by man it's just the opposite, he says. Mekablim yeser mikeh akizum min vorim rachim. They react better to hard talk and to straight talk and to threats. L'chein ha'anoshim b'loshen kosher. Therefore, you must speak to the man in a hard language. This is how he learns here. It's a very good marriage counseling. This has to do with the particular natures of the men and women that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. A next point in the Posuk Dalet. Posuk Dalet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, now he's told Moshe, what should you tell the people? He says, this is what you should tell them. This is what you should tell the men, and this is what you should tell the women. Atem ri'isem asher asisi lemitzroy. You have seen what I have done to Egypt. You have seen how I carried them on the wings of eagles. And you have seen how I have brought them to me. This is the first instruction which was Moshe was to tell the people. What does it mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu carried them on the wing of eagles and brought them to me? So there are two interpretations. Rashi brings one, but actually the Mechilta brings a machlekes. The Mechilta brings Reb Lezer Eimer. Lezer says, "Atem risem asher asisi l'Mitzrayim bo eso eschem al kanfi nishori." That I have carried you on the wing of eagles. This refers to the day of going out of Egypt. When Klal Yisrael was ready to go out of Egypt, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in a short amount of time, brought them all together. He brought them all together to Ramses. And that should be the point where they leave Egypt. We're speaking here of millions of people. There were 600,000 males between 20 and 60, but there were the females. There were those over 60. There were the enormous amount of children under 20. So we're speaking of millions of people. In a short amount of time, they were all gathered together in Ramses, as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu carried them on the wings of eagles. V'ovieshem elai, and what does it mean, and I have brought you to me, Lahar Sinai. So you have seen how I gathered you together on the wings of eagles to take in Egypt, and how you how I have brought you to me here on Har Sinai. Rabbi Kiva says, no. He says, this that I gathered you together as eagles, that refers to the giving of the Torah. The Fisho HaYisrael Nirtoim Lacharehem Yud Beis Mil. When the Torah was given, it states that when they heard the words come from Hashem, they became so afraid that the whole nation moved back Yud Beis Mil, 12 mil, which is a long distance. And it's about 12 kilometers. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, had to send angels in order to bring them back. So this is what is meant, that they were carried on the wings of eagle. What does it mean, V'ovi eschem elai, and I brought them to me? That refers to the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. It refers not to now, but when I will build the Beis HaMikdash for them. So everyone agrees that the three most important points in the history of Israel was A, the going out of Egypt, Yitzias Mitzrayim; B, Matan Torah, the giving of Torah; and three, the building of the Beis HaMikdash. These were the three most important points. According to the first opinion, though, that it started with the going out of Egypt and it culminated with the giving of the Torah. According to the second opinion of Akiva, the going out of Egypt, this was just the preparation. And the first phase of bringing Israel close to Hashem, that was the giving of the Torah. And the final phase was the building of the Beis HaMikdash. So they're having a discussion that when Hashem said, you have seen how I took you out of Egypt, how I took you on the wings of eagles and brought you to me, which two do they refer to? But everyone agrees that these are the three most important points in history of Klal Yisrael. See, so therefore we must always be cognizant of the going out of Egypt. We are commanded that we must remember the going out of Egypt every day, of the giving of the Torah, and of the building of the Beis HaMikdash, which we had in the Yemirtz Hashem, we hope to have in the future. Also in this Pasuk that we just read, it states, Atem Re'isem, you have seen. And this Rashi says, what does it mean, you have seen? You saw all of this. You have seen what I did in Egypt, how I took you out of Egypt, and you are going to see now how I give Torah to you. This is not something which you know through tradition. This is not something which was told to you. This is not something that witnesses came to testify to you. But this is something which you have seen with your own eyes. Now we have the same thing a little further. After the giving of the Torah, it states in Pasuk Yutes, Shmeishkov Pasuk Yutes, Hashem said to Meisha, Kesema b'nei Yisrael, this is what you should tell the b'nei Yisrael. Atem re'isem, ki min ha-shamayim dibati mochem. You have seen that I have spoken to you from the heavens. So again Rashi says, what does it mean you have seen? There's a difference between something that a person sees himself and between something that another person tells him. Because when people come and tell us things, sometimes we don't believe 100%. Even if they're witnesses. Witnesses come and testify to something. Many times the Torah tells us we must accept the witnesses as truth. But still, that's not as good Asin. Ein Edema Riel Shmia. Ein Edema Riel Shmia. Excuse me, Ein Edema Shmia Leria. Listening is not as good as seeing. And the Gemara says, Leite Hey Shmia Gdele Meria. Listening certainly should not be better than seeing. What we see ourselves, that's the best testimony. And here HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Rambam actually elaborates on this. This is the foundation of our belief, of our emunah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not want it to take place secondhand. He did not want it to take place through hearsay. All of the tradition that we have, all of the Mercedes that we have, comes from the generation which did not hear about this and was not told about this but saw it. They saw it with their own eyes. They saw the going out of Egypt. They saw the destruction of Pare and all of the Makis, all of the plagues and the miracles. They saw the splitting of the sea, and they saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu speak to them from the mountain. So therefore the foundation of our belief is based on Riyah, actual sight. In Parshas Nitzavim it states that all of the generations to come were there also, but they were there spiritually. The souls of all the generations were there. They were there spiritually. But physically, it's not something that was told to them, but it's what they saw. And that's emphasized here in the Sedra twice as a yesod, as a foundation for belief in Torah. But he says, Atem re'isem asher osisi l'bitzrayim. You saw what I did. Or as it states later on, Atem re'isim ki min ha-shamayim dibati imochem. You saw what I did to Egypt, and you saw with your own eyes that I spoke to you from the heavens. This is something very important. That our emunah, our belief is based on the generation which saw. Then in the next pasuk hey, the ator, he says, tell the people, im shema now and now, im shema tishbu bekeli, if you will surely listen to my voice, ishmartim es brishi, and you will guard my covenant, yes, v'yisem li shkula mikol amim, then you will be the most precious, the most dearest of the nations to me from all of the nations. Kili kol oret, and it's not because you're the only one. Li kol oret, the entire world belongs to me, but I shall choose you. Ba'atem tiyuli mamleches kani megei kodosh, and you will be a empire of kings and a sanctified nation. Eilu advorim asher tedaber al b'nei Yisrael. This is what Hashem instructed Meshur to tell the people at this point. Now, here's the question is asked, what does it mean, the ator, and now? What does it mean now? So Rashi explains from the Mechilta, I am asking you to accept my Torah. If you are willing to accept ator, now it will be difficult. But later, it will be easy and pleasant. Ibato tikablu aleichem, if you accept now, Yerav lochem mikan ve'elech. Later it will be easy. Shekolas cholas koshes. Because all beginnings are difficult. What is the explanation? The Torah is referred to as an ol, as a yoke. It's a great yoke. Torah is not easy. 613 mitzvahs are not easy to carry. So it's a great and heavy yoke. And how is it possible for a Jew to carry all of these mitzvahs? So you have to accept now. This that I'm saying for you to accept is we are taught now. That's all. If you accept now, then later it will carry you. If you put your shoulder to the Torah now, then later the Torah will carry you. See, that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said. He didn't say, Im Shema Tishma B'Keli, if you will listen and if you will guard. But he said, and now if you will. You only have to do it now. Later it will go by itself. Because the Torah will have a strength to carry you. Shekola shkolesh koshes. Beginnings are difficult, but afterwards it will carry you. The Mechilta goes further. The Mechilta says, Im shema tishbu'u. What does it mean? If you will listen. And this is, it's a double statement. Shema tishbu'u. The same principle. Shoma achas mashmim le mitzvah harbe. If you will listen once, then the Torah will give you more. Do one mitzvah, and the Torah will add another mitzvah. Mitzvah gereres mitzvah. One mitzvah will draw another mitzvah. Learn one word of Torah, and the Torah will come and teach you another on your own, on its own. The more you learn, the Torah will come and teach you more. Im shamoa tishmo. Listen once, and then the Torah will come and give you more. This is the derech of Torah. Kodesh Baruch Hu says that if you open your heart with an opening, kichudei shel machat, that is as big as the opening of a needle. How big is an opening of a needle? If you open your heart to me with an opening that's as big as a needle, the head of a needle, then ani yeftach lo kepischa shel ulam, and I will open your heart as great as the great hall, the great entry hall of the Beis Hamikdash. And I will fill it with wisdom. So we are not asked to carry the entire Torah. We are not asked to have to bear the burden of the entire Torah for always. He said, Ator, now you accept the Torah. And if you do it now, then after that it will be Yerablo, it will be something which will be the most pleasant and wonderful thing. Then he said, Hashem said, if you will listen to the Torah and guard my covenant. Now what does it mean, guard my covenant? He says, if you will listen to the Torah and guard my covenant. We cannot be referring to mitzvahs, because we're in the process of giving the mitzvahs here. The mitzvahs weren't given yet. So what's he saying? Go tell the people that if you will listen to my Torah and guard my covenant. What covenant? And this Mechilta says, brings a machlekes. Reb Lezer says, Zebri Shabbos. We're speaking of Shabbos. Shabbos was given before the Torah was given. Shabbos was given in Morah after they crossed the sea, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then they ran out of the food that they took with them, the matzah which they took with them from Mitzrayim, that lasted them 40 days. And when that was all finished, they didn't have what to eat, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them the mon. And the mon, when he gave them the mon, he gave them the laws of Shabbos, that 6 days you shall gather the mon, and on the seventh day you must not go into the field to gather the mon. So Shabbos was given before the Torah was given. And Reb Lezer says this refers to Shabbos. And Reb Akiva says, Zu bris milah v'aveidah zorah. This refers to the bris milah. The bris milah was before Shabbos. Was before the giving of the Torah. They were commanded in Pesach, in Egypt, right before the going out of Egypt, right before the 15th of Nisan. They were commanded to mal, to circumcise. So bris milah they were given. Actually, bris milah was given even before it was given to Avraham. See, so it was an older mitzvah already. And Aveda Zorah, they were commanded on from before. And in Egypt again, Mishku, they were told that they must relinquish all Aveda Zorah. So there were covenants given before. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said. He says, go tell the people that if they will guard my covenants, then I'm prepared to give them the Torah. Now the Maral writes here in his Gurai that why were these three things given before? He said a man is made up of three sections. Like we've mentioned many times, he has a physical body, Then the physical body was given a life. Kodesh Baruch Hu breathed into him a life. The body is called the goof, and the life is called the nefesh. And then he was given a seichel. Seichel is the intellect and intelligence. And he was given a covenant. A covenant is more than a mitzvah. See, a covenant is a mitzvah, but it's also a mitzvah that binds one to Hashem. So for each facet of the human being, he was given a special covenant. The bris milah was for the goof, that was for the physical body. That's the bond of the physical body to Hashem. Shabbos is the nefesh. Why Shabbos the nefesh? Because Shabbos is the day of rest. What rests? What rests is what moves. It's the life of the person that gives him the power to move. When you take away the life of the person, he's a daemon, he's still. See, the physical body itself doesn't move. Only when you breathe some life into the physical body can it move. And rest means something that constantly moves must rest. So Shabbos is to the nefesh. That's why it states on Shabbos, Vayinofash. Vayinofash means he shall rest. In particular, it's referring to the nefesh. And it also states on Shabbos that a person is given a nefesh yisera. So he's given an extra amount of this life on Shabbos. Aveda Zora, idolatry, that has to do with the mind of the person. A person worships idolatry basically through alien beliefs. That's the mind. That's the makshava. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Klal Yisrael three covenants. Each covenant was to bind one part to him. Here the machlekes, the discussion between Rav Lezer and Rav Akiva as to what covenant are we referring to here. So he says, if you will guard my covenant, are we referring? One says we're referring to the covenant of Shabbos. The other says we're referring to the covenant of the bris milah, the circumcision, or of the of idolatry. So this is their discussion. But this is the importance of these three. Hashem said that before you are able to accept Torah, you must keep something else. We cannot come to learn Torah or to accept Torah out of the cold. Many people think that anyone can come and learn Torah. So all he has to do is come into a Beis HaMedrash and study Torah. Not so. Many people think anybody can come and accept mitzvahs. Not so. It takes preparation. Here we see by the Matan Torah itself. Later on, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to tell the people that for 3 days they must sanctify themselves. Here he's saying that if you will listen to me, and you will listen to my voice, and you will guard my covenant. This is all in preparation to Torah. So we see that there are certain conditions, preconditions, there are certain prerequisites before coming to Torah. And these three principles, if they are not kept, they stand in the way from accepting Torah. This is, from here we can understand, while circumcision is a mitzvah to give a child before he starts to study Torah. One might think that circumcision would be sufficient if it was given when he was 13 years old. But meanwhile, we are obligated to study Torah with a child when he's 5 years old. As soon as he starts talking, we're obligated to start teaching the child Torah. And when he's 5 years old or 6 years old, he starts to learn Chumash. Here, this gives us somewhat of an insight, because it's necessary to come to Torah. He must have the bris milah. If not, it will act as an obstacle and a barrier between him and Torah.
body can come close to Torah only if there was the Bismillah fulfilled in it. The same with Shabbos. A nefesh can come close to Torah only if the covenant of Shabbos is kept with the nefesh. And the same thing with Aveda Zora. Certainly someone who is an idolater or he has alien philosophies in his mind, he's not going to be able to sit down and learn a Mishnah or learn a Gemara. This will act as a screen, it will act as an obstacle, it will act as a mechitza between he and the Torah. So it's not simple that a person can just walk in to a Beis HaMedrash and sit down and learn Torah. But there has to be preparation beforehand. And therefore, Hashem said, one of the preconditions is that they have to accept to guard my covenants, which I gave before the giving of Torah, and then they can come to receive the Torah. Now we'll speak on this a little, just in a little further, but I want to go now to one more pasuk. Next it states, it says, Eila advorim asher tedaber al b'nei Yisrael. Hashem told Moshe, this is what you should tell the people. So Moshe went, and he called the elders of the nation, and he put in front of them everything that Hashem said. And all of the nation answered together, and they said, whatever Hashem said, we will do. This also is a prerequisite to Torah. It has to be commitment. But they said, we're committed. We're committed to call Hashem, whatever Hashem says, we commit ourselves. A person goes to learn Torah, he goes to accept Torah, there has to be the previous commitment. They didn't say, let's hear what he wants to command us with, and then we'll tell him if we accept or not. That's what the other nation said. They went to Yishmael, and Yishmael said, Maksiv Boch, what is written in the Torah? So Hashem said, it's written that you're not allowed to steal. Yishmael said, I cannot accept such a Torah. They went to Esav, and Esav said, what is written in the Torah? And Hashem said, you shall not kill. Esav said, I cannot accept such a Torah. The prerequisite for success in Torah is kol asher. Whatever is written, I'm committed to. That's what they said. Now it states, Vayoshev Meshes Divrei Omer Hashem. Moshe went back up to the mountain to give over to Hashem what the people said. He went back up to the mountain and he told HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they said, kol asher diber Hashem nase. Whatever Hashem says, we'll do. Here there's a question. The question Rashi asks, why did Moshe have to go back up to the mountain? Didn't Hashem know that? Once Moshe asked the people, and they answered, and they said, whatever Hashem said, we'll do, we will do. So Hashem heard that. And Moshe knew Hashem heard it. Hashem hears everything. So why did Moshe have to return to the mountain? It states, Moshe went back and he told Hashem what the people answered. So Rashi brings Rashi says, Moshe is teaching us Derech Eretz. Va'akosav lelamdecho Derech Eretz mi Moshe. Shelei omar o'il v'yodea mishe shelacheni ein etzorach lehoshiv. Moshe could have said that since the one who sent me on this mission knows the outcome, so I don't have to report back to him. And that's not Derech Eretz. Derech Eretz is, we gave a shir on this a couple of months ago. Derech Eretz is not what is required from you by the mitzvahs of the Torah, but it is what is required from you because you are a person who lives in this world. See, this world requires things from a person. It requires one eats and one drinks and one sleeps and one takes care of his health. And one knows how to get along with people. and one is a social being and is a member of society and so forth and so forth. That's what Derech Eretz is. Derech Eretz means the way of the earth. Because you are an earthly being, protocol and etiquette. And it is not protocol, it is not etiquette, it is not manners that if someone sends you on a mission and you accept to do the mission, that you don't come back to him and report to him what took place, even though he might have hurt himself. And why does the Torah write this here? L'lamdechot derech eretz, akosim derech eretz mimeisha. Meisha was a great Baal derech eretz. So therefore, to learn this derech eretz from Meisha. Even though he knew HaKadosh Baruch Hu already knew, but still it was his responsibility to go back to the mountain and report it to Hashem that this is what the nation has said. Why was Meisha a Baal derech eretz? Meisha was a Baal derech eretz because it states he maintained him derech eretz. He maintained derech eretz ain't Torah. Someone who has no derech eretz can't have Torah. Meisha was the one who was been zeichet to Torah. He was the one who was bringing Torah into the world. And if without derech eretz, you can't have Torah. So if Meisha was not a Baal derech eretz, how could he bring Torah into the world? So Meisha for sure was a Baal derech eretz. But there's another question here. But why here? Why does the Torah have to teach us this here, right here? Many places the Torah teaches us, it could teach us someplace else. And that we could give a simple answer. Here we're speaking of preparation for Torah. The Chazal tell us that preparation for Torah is Derech Eretz. She Derech Eretz Kodma LaTorah. That Derech Eretz must come before Torah. The Chazal say, what is our proof that Derech Eretz must come before Torah? Not only must one have Derech Eretz, but it's a prerequisite to Torah. What is our proof? I'll say because Derech Eretz was taught to the Torah, to the world, before Torah. Derech Eretz was taught to the world right from the creation, while Torah was not given until 26 generations later. So therefore, Derech Eretz Kodma LaTorah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu first taught Derech Eretz to the people, and then Torah. And why? Because Torah is the most sophisticated wisdom. Derech Eretz is the more fundamental, the more basic. You can't build a sophisticated wisdom if you lack the basic principles of wisdom. You cannot build a skyscraper if you lack the foundation. So therefore first, and that's how a person grows. When a baby is born, we must start teaching him Derech Eretz as soon as he's born. But we're not obligated to start teaching him Torah until he's 5 or 6 years old. He's not obligated to learn Torah himself or do mitzvahs himself until he's 13. And there's other mitzvahs that come even later. Marriage is only when he's 18. So Derech Eretz Kodma LaTorah. And this is part of the preparation for Torah. Now, the Rambam brings, which is interesting, which has to, similar to what we're saying, in the beginning of Perek Dalet, of Hilchas Talmud Torah, Ein Melamdim Torah, Ela LeTalmud Hogun. We are not allowed to teach Torah. People think any Jew we're obligated to teach Torah to. It says Vishinantam Levanecho, you have to teach Torah. Bonecho doesn't mean only your own children, but Eila Talmidim, anyone who wants to learn. But there are qualifications. Not only we're not obligated, but it's also we are not allowed to teach Torah to a disciple unless he's a Talmud Hogan, unless he's a good person. Noah Bemaisov. A person who's a beautiful individual. Noah B'maisev means a person who is a Baal Derech Eretz. He has good midos, he has good manners. There's a mitzvah to teach him Torah. Ot L'tam. Ot L'tam means a person who, actually it's a discussion here. What does a tam mean? Some say, if it's not clear to us if he's tam, if it's not clear to us he looks good, but we don't know more. All right, you can teach. Oh. But what happens if he's someone who's walking in the wrong way? He's a person who doesn't have derech eretz. He doesn't have good qualities. He doesn't have good manners. He's a coarse individual. He's a mean person. Or he's a person who, like we mentioned, he's totally he's opposed to Torah, or he's against Torah. He's not committed to Torah. He doesn't want anything to do with it. There, not only there's not a mitzvah to learn, you're not allowed to teach such a person Torah. And it's brought, if you do, you're mavazi the Torah. You shame the Torah. It's like taking beautiful wine and putting it into the worst vessels. So what should you do with this type of person? No, you must not give up on a person like this. You have to talk to him. You have to be makar of him. You have to bring him close. You have to try to bring him back to... He's a criminal. You have to try. He's a drug addict. So you have to try to get him off of drugs. You have to try to persuade him to walk in a straight path. And you have to keep an eye on him and investigate carefully. And only afterwards do you allow him to come into the Beis HaMedrash where he can learn Torah. Just like Matan Torah. Kodesh Baruch Hu put down a lot of provisions before he let anybody come to Har Sinai. Whoever teaches Torah to a Talmud that's not a good person, that's like he's throwing a stone to an Avedah Zorah, to an idol, which this was the way they served them. And it states, Nesin Leksil Kovet. He is giving the fool honor. Because Kovet is Torah. And he's giving Torah, which is... You don't give honor to a fool. Someone who teaches Torah to such a disciple is giving honor, because there's no greater honor than Torah, to a fool. So that's a very important point. A final point is that it states in Pasuk Yud Aleph, in Pasuk Yud Aleph, Ve'hoyu nechonin le'yem ha'shlishi. You shall be prepared for the third day. Ki b'yem ha'shlishi yered Hashem le'enei kol om. Because on the third day I'm going to come down in the and everyone will see me. Le'enei kol om, everyone will see me. Rashi says from here that the fact it says kol ho'om, the entire nation will see me. What do we learn from here? Shelo ha'yo echot suma, that not one person was blind. If it would say the name, it says kolo om, the entire nation will see me. From here we learn shelo hayo behem suma, that there wasn't one person blind. Now how is it possible that in a nation of millions and millions of people there wouldn't be one person blind? So the Mechilta says shedisrape kulam, they were all cured in honor of the giving of the Torah. Later on, near the end of the Sedra, in Chof Tesvov, there it states all of the nations saw. They saw the thunder and everything. And Rashi brings, he says, not only did they all see that there wasn't one that was blind, but also they all could speak. Because it says, Vayanu Kolo'om. The entire nation answered. And also that they all could hear. Because it said, Nasi v'nishma, that we will do and we will listen. So from here we see that all of the mumim, any of the handicaps that were found in Israel, be it they couldn't see, or they couldn't speak, or they couldn't hear, was all cured for the giving of the Torah. All cured. Why is this? So the Maral says, well, first of all, it's a posuk. It says that Torah marpe kol boser. Torah cures all ills. But why? Because as we mentioned before, the Torah is perfect. This is the perfection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is his chem de genuza, this is his most priceless treasure. It's neither to the right or to the left. It is perfect. All handicaps, all injuries, all of our ailments come because something is wrong in the system. There's an unbalance in the system. Everything would be perfect. So then we would be perfect. We would never be sick and we won't have any problems. When one rises to the ultimate level of Torah, then there has to be a total perfection in totality. We learn Torah and we still have ailments. That's because we don't come to that level of Torah. But at Har Sinai, where they came to the highest levels of Torah possible, Kodesh Baruch Hu himself came down on the mountain and Klal Yisrael went up, so they were at a level of perfection, of total perfection. And therefore all of the ailments, all of the handicaps became cured. These are 10 points that we dwelled on that have to do with the preparation that Klal Yisrael was instructed to go through before the giving of the Torah, and what we can learn from in regards to our preparation when we go to the study of Torah or to the fulfillment of Torah.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.